you thought of breaking through.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Ain't it part of what you do? Catch a victim while he's dumb. Break his larynx with your tie time. And it's time to get high. Well, this ain't no goddamn dream. It's exactly what it seems. Wake up today just to lay back down and say, I won't be coming back. Let's call it a heart attack. Give me some of that knack. This is just a final payback. They all flipped on me. Took my passions, left me be. When I had a place to sit, a goddamn attitude to fit. Talk real smooth, knew where to spit. But things have changed and I have quit. Got nothing to look forward to, but a backlash full of lies. You're too late for where you're going. This is faith, the whistle's blowing. It's much too late.
And joining me right now is Mr. Brad Olson. What's going on, my friend?
Hey, Michael. Doing well. Always great to talk to you on the Michael Deacon program.
Absolutely. Thanks for being here, Brad. Always a honor and pleasure to talk to you. And Brad, it seems like every time I talk to you, you're somewhere new, but right now you're finally back at home, it seems.
Yep, back at my ranch up in northwestern Nevada, but a couple weeks ago, that was quite a different situation. I was in Southeast Asia in the landlocked country called Laos, checking out this megalithic site, traveling around the country.
Yes, you are always traveling, my friend. You travel more than anyone else I know. And Brad, does that ever get fatiguing for you, all this traveling that you do? Or by now, you're just sort of like used to it?
Well, I am used to it. You know, the old saying, rolling stone gathers no moss. So I guess it's just in my DNA to keep on moving.
I like that.
And this particular trip, I was my luggage was a backpack and I needed it because I had to get around taking buses to go out to the Plain of Jars. And I'm thinking, one day, yeah, man, I'm still doing it. I'm in my 50s and still backpacking around like I did 30 years ago.
I know, but you love it by now, obviously. This is something that's a part of your life already. I think you're just going to be doing this until the wheels fall off, as they say.
Yeah, and you know, I do believe that travel keeps you young, and it has certainly benefited my life in so many ways. As you know, 5 years ago, I was down in Antarctica.
And yeah.
Talk about my Antarctica trip at conferences and interviews and even writing a new book on it.
Oh, okay, so, good.
It helps.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And speaking of conferences, you were at the last one I remembered. You were like out here near L.A. at the Conscious Life Expo, I believe. What was that scene like now that people like Corey Good and David Wilcock are no longer like headline acts there?
Yeah, those two. The only way they get booked at a conference is if they book their own. It's still a huge event. I think there were 15,000 attendees at the LAX Hilton. Huge venue. I got to give my presentation on the giants in prehistory and the megalithic sites around the world. And lo and behold, it's quite a commonality to find a megalithic site, especially the really old ones, and either a legend of the giants creating the megaliths, or sometimes bones being buried right at the site, such as Sacsayhuaman in Peru and other locations in South America. In fact, they have museums in South America with the elongated skulls. They don't try to cover it up like we do here in the U.S. Smithsonian Gate, who's been known to take bones and artifacts and just dump them in the ocean when they can't make sense of them or don't want to try to.
Oh, yeah. Like Osama bin Laden's body, allegedly, right?
Yeah, exactly. Just dump it at sea.
Yeah, that's one that's always a bit of a fun one for me, hearing that our government disposed of his body like that all those years ago. It's still something that, you know, I'm constantly reminded of during, you know, during all the things that we've been seeing the last several years that went down and on in America, and everyone just kind of doing as they say. Pretty pathetic, by the way, Brad. The last few years here in America, we've really pretty much bowed down to the top brass, the global elite. We've kissed the ring, in other words, Brad. It's pretty pathetic.
It's very pathetic. But I tell you, the only good that's come of this is that we're finally seeing who the real enemy is, where the danger is coming from. And it's the globalists. We've been saying this on your program for years now, but I think even the normies are starting to wake up and see that this jab was not good for them and who's pushing it. I just saw a great video from Richard Gage, who is architects and engineers for 9/11.
Oh, yeah.
He did the comparison with COVID-19, and it's the same group that does them both. It's the same one that perpetuates all these false flags and tries to get us into wars, and that's who the real enemy is. We got to get rid of this global elite if we're going to move on.
That's true. And like you said, Brad, everyone, all the normies, rather, are starting to sort of wake up and see that this was all nonsense. And I'm glad to see it, you know, to be honest with you. Even the QAnon folks out there, I'm not someone that's heavily into that or even believed in any of it, to be honest with you, though, Brad. But it did serve its purpose. It did wake up those that were sort of in the shadows of all these sort of things, all these nefarious things that have been going on in America for us since basically the inception of it all.
Yeah, it's quite clear to anyone paying attention that it's this Davos elite, this Bilderbergers, and they've been meeting for decades, plotting out their control of the globe. And their unelected officials, well, in fact, they have the elected officials in their back pocket.
Right.
We've all learned from Epstein Island that that was a big honeypot operation where it was said that, about 90% of our elected officials are compromised, blackmailed in one way or another.
Yeah, that is terrible. And it sounds like you're sick yourself. Now, did you contract COVID, Brad? A little
bit. You know, I came back with the last day of my trip in Laos. I must have ate a bowl of tainted pho, or maybe the dishes were dirty, but had some stomach issues, and then 2 weeks later turned into a cold. So yeah, I'm still kind of struggling with the infections found abroad. That's something I won't miss if I ever stop traveling, but I guess it's one of the prices you pay.
Right. That's one thing I was going to ask you. How often are you sick? Since you do travel around a lot, and I know that's probably, I'm sure your immune system, rather, takes a bit of a punch every now and then.
Yeah, especially with what they call it in Mexico, Montezuma's Revenge.
Uh-huh.
Try to avoid drinking the local water.
Or right.
Even, dishes that may have been washed with it can be tainted. And certainly don't open your mouth in the shower, that kind of thing.
Right. Yeah, definitely. And don't get into any car accidents soon either, Brad. If you ever happen to need blood, chances are you're probably going to get vaccinated blood.
Yeah, the Red Cross doesn't seem to think it's worthwhile to separate the two.
Can you imagine that? That is crazy.
That is totally crazy. In fact, there are blood donation sites and people who are requesting non-vaccinated blood. And the requests are more than they can supply. So people are also waking up to this and seeing that this is not doing good for their body.
Oh, hell no. Hell no, Brad. I'm glad you're not vaxxed, by the way.
No, never will be. Never again. No, they totally lost the trust in anything injectable in my body. Forget it.
Right. It's not worth it. I'm not anti-vaccine or anything, but it seems like most of these vaccines don't even work, to be perfectly honest with you. And even more so, Brad, it seems like, you know, I'm from a bit of a younger generation. And, you know, I wouldn't consider you to be of an older generation, but it seems like more or less nowadays, well, actually more than less, we're seeing a rise of autism. And it seems like there wasn't really all that much autism way back in the day compared to now.
Sure, compared to now. No, there wasn't. And then if you look at the vax schedule for kids these days, it's quadruple or 10 times the amount of my generation. I went to the medical freedom panel at the Conscious Life Expo on Monday.
Yeah.
And Steve Kirsch was one of the panelists. And he's done some incredible work with children, vaccinations, autism. And he has done studies with the Amish community.
Oh, the Amish.
The Amish are very, very famous for not getting vaccinations. And he has not been able to find a single child in the Amish community who's gone their whole lives without any vaccinations with a case of autism. Just doesn't exist. So the statistical odds for that compared to the rest of the population that has is astronomically high. So high that it cannot be discounted that this is the cause for autism.
Oh, yeah.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
A bad time to raise kids, that's for sure.
Yeah, I wouldn't know how to do it.
I wouldn't either. I would be losing my mind. I would be worried nonstop. And, you know, the only thing I own are a few cats, Brad, and even they stress me out. So I can't imagine having a child. I'd be locked up probably.
Yeah, I mean, I can't even imagine the kind of pressure that most people have to go through with kids and as far as schools.
Yeah, you gotta watch them. You gotta watch them nonstop, Brad. It's crazy.
Remember when we were kids, we'd leave in the summertime to go play with our friends, go to the pool, and come back only when we're starving, just because we have to eat.
Yeah, when you got a little buzz going, you know, you drank a little, maybe smoked a little, and then you go home. Yeah, those were fun times. And I'm sure many can relate to that. But yeah, I'm of that last generation, Brad, where you would be able to actually go trick-or-treating door-to-door with your friends and all that sort of jazz. And again, today that's pretty much a thing of the past. And I feel old even saying that. And I'm not even that goddamn old. But yeah, that's long gone. There's no more such thing of that at all, Brad, especially out here. People are afraid of everything. People are afraid to go outside and drive when it's raining. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, exactly. People are frightened to do anything these days. They live behind gated communities and kids are playing their Xbox video games all day and getting real chubby.
Yeah, of course.
I found it interesting that Netanyahu in Israel, prime minister, said, "You better get your American kids in shape because we're going to need them to fight our wars."
Ooh.
They're not even capable of joining the military these days.
Right. Yeah, it's quite a shame how obese America has become. When you compare to all the other countries out there, it seems like everyone's nice and slender. But that just goes to show you all the processed junk that's allowed. All the nasty chemicals that are basically allowed by the FDA to be served up to you on a normal daily basis, especially for your kids, and the cereals, the glyphosate, and all the other harmful chemicals out there that pretty much damage you and turn the frogs gay, as Alex Jones likes to say.
Yeah, so many things are changing. In fact, the vaccinated have now migrated from being Homo sapien to a different group called Homo borgensis.
Homo borgensis, okay.
Their name has literally changed. They're not human anymore, And here's the kicker, Michael. Once you create something, they're known as chimeras in a laboratory, and change the DNA, that is patentable. You cannot patent life as we know it. But if you change it, if you make something new, it's changeable. So now Homo borgensis, being a concoction of the pharmaceutical industries with altered DNA, is now patentable, is now technically owned by the pharmaceutical industries.
Yeah, it's pretty outrageous. And by the way, that reminded me of one of my guests that I bring on here. He's a regular. You might be familiar with him. Are you familiar with Mr. Marshall Masters?
Oh, yeah. He's great.
You know, he comes on here and we have such a great time and he holds nothing back. You know, you reminded me of him right now when you were saying this homo thing here. Because he likes to say, you know, he was also saying this, but he was saying homo satanic, which I thought was hilarious.
That's a good one. You should know. He's been to the cloning laboratories and done a whole bunch of weird stuff to basically show us that this is not natural. This is not normal to have clones or people's DNAs altered. I mean, this is being done to us without us even knowing. And I think it's just so terribly wrong.
Absolutely. But what can we actually do? That's the always the end game of it all in these sort of conversations I have with everybody. It's like, what could we actually do, though, without having sort of like a Waco incident on our hands, though?
Yeah.
Because this the whole there's a lot of things in the Constitution that are just insane as well. And a lot of laws are just insane as well. Even though I believe in the Constitution, there's some things in there that I don't exactly agree with. But even in today's standards, the Constitution is being basically broken every other day, basically, with today's laws.
Sure is. And when you think about how these globalists have been able to manipulate the laws on the books, our Constitution as we know it, which has been so eviscerated from what the Founding Fathers envisioned for us, it's basically the stripped down version at best.
Yeah.
That they've been able to do this workaround and get away with it for so much. And it's just really affected the way that we can attempt to be a free people anymore, to avoid mandatory shots in our arms. I mean, they're still pushing it. If you saw the Super Bowl, the star of the Kansas City Chiefs, who's dating Taylor Swift.
That's right.
No coincidence there, Michael.
Oh, I know, right?
And he's still pushing the vax. It's just amazing.
Well, he's getting paid a lot of money for that, you know.
Oh, he got paid $20 million a year more than his salary as a player.
Yeah, would you take that offer from Pfizer, by the way, Brad? No shit here. Like, seriously, let's say they contacted you one day by telephone and you're like, who is this? And it's like, it's a Pfizer representative and they are offering you, like, let's say like $100 million on the spot to sort of be like this advocate, to put out these commercials and ads, basically be like, you know, like a PR guy for them. Would you actually take the money, though, Brad?
I don't think I could.
You couldn't do it.
My conscience would not sit with me. No, because that's selling your soul to the devil.
And a lot of these people already have. Yeah, I agree. And a lot of these people in the industry already have, you know, like Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
A lot of these people do that to achieve that level of fame and notoriety. And that's one thing a lot of people don't understand. When you like achieve that sort of level, it's not because you're just this talented special person. It's because you owe whoever put you up there. And that's kind of the way it works. You're kind of forced to do things you wouldn't normally do once you're allowed to get to that spot there. You're only allowed, basically. It's never organic. Just think about it this way. Look at Hanson. You know, they went platinum. Remember that horrible band?
Yeah.
There you go. I mean, would you say their music was good? Come on.
Right. Yeah, no, I totally agree. And yeah, it's for fame. It's for fortune. It's for wealth and power, but it's never going to serve you in the long run.
Right.
This is where I think most Americans are duped, because so many people would probably take that $100 million.
Oh, yeah.
And not even realizing that you're going to have consequences. All of our actions have consequences. And so you really want to have the pain and suffering of millions of people on your hand? I sure wouldn't. I wouldn't even want one. So people need to think it through and realize that we're real spiritual beings and a human having this human experience. And karma is a very real thing that will affect everybody in the long run. So I think it's very important to put your ducks where they ought to be and make sure that you do the right thing.
Right. Do the right thing. That is actually quite admirable to do these days, because everyone is not doing the right thing at all. And we saw during the lockdowns as well, a lot of people doing shady things. People like those folks out there in New York in the tunnels, you know, those tunnel dwellers out there.
Yeah.
Look how quickly that went away from the news, by the way.
It did, didn't it?
I wonder what happened. Maybe I should call them during the show sometime, during a live show. Call the NYPD office there and say that I'm like an investigative journalist and see what they'd say.
Yeah, I wonder if they'd even put your call through.
Probably not.
But remember, they found out about those tunnels and they were going in to check it out. And
right.
They were going to fill them in. And then all these Hasidic Jews, right. Prevented the crew from coming in. So they had to arrest about 8 or 9 of them. And by doing so, they made it that they had to close the center down. And then they came out with this cover story that, oh, a bunch of young people did it. It wasn't us. It wasn't the elders. Well, how do you get away with that? How do you build a tunnel across the way if nobody knows about it?
Yeah, I'm not sure if you've seen other interviews of sort. Well, people attempting to interview some of these Hasidic Jews that are walking around outside of that establishment there. And their reaction is quite telling. It seems like none of them want to talk about any of it, or they just deny everything that the public saw, including those stained mattresses.
Yeah, wasn't that creepy?
That was really weird. Oh. And the baby carriage that was in there as well.
Yeah. Yeah, no kidding.
There's something obvious going on there. Obviously nefarious, I should say, that's going on in these places. Yet it's very taboo to talk about it, and it's considered almost anti-Semitic to even question these sort of things. And, you know, I'm not an anti-Semitic sort of guy, by the way. I'm not one of these folks out there, by the way. I don't hate the Jews or anything like that. Matter of fact, I know a lot of PR people that pretty much operated by Jews, and, you know, they helped me out. Nothing wrong with the Jewish people. We're talking about the ones that are playing a much more devious role out there.
When you think about that term, anti-Semitic, it's so charged.
Very charged.
That almost everybody has a knee-jerk reaction. Oh, I can't be called that. But the real Semitic people, you look at the DNA of who the Semites really are, they're really the Palestinians. They're really the indigenous people of the area of Israel. 85% of Jewish people are Ashkenazi Jews.
Ashkenazi Jew, right.
From the Khazarian region, from Central Asia. So, yeah, I mean, you want to talk about a way to deflect the way to criticize these people. Was it Voltaire, famous French philosopher, says, if you want to know who controls you, it's the people you're not able to criticize.
You're not allowed to criticize certain groups out there, or else it's basically career suicide.
Big time career suicide. And
especially today's world.
People like you and me, Michael, I mean, we're in the public purview, and you got the Anti-Defamation League and B'nai B'rith that will come after you, and they got lawyers, they got a lot of money. So we're just trying to uncover the truth. And unfortunately, you get these people in the mix quite a bit.
Oh, yeah. Everything's heavily suppressed, as you know. Sadly, but that's the world we live in today. And, you know, earlier you mentioned Antarctica, and it seems like there's always something going on out there. I recently came across an article about, like, these giant spiders out there, these giant underwater, you know, sea spiders. You know, I wasn't even aware that they had these giant spiders out there in that sort of climate, to be honest. And I was thinking, you know, I wonder if there was ever a time where these things were just massive out there. And probably, I mean, maybe Admiral Byrd saw something like that out there.
I kind of doubt it, just because it's so cold that really nothing can grow or live there. Yeah,
that's another possibility.
Yeah, there's no trees, there's no bushes, there's nothing green. The largest animal is an insect that lives on the land, and it's a tiny little land bug. So anything big, you require more energy to survive. You need more sun, you need more food, and it's just not available there. It's such a barren and desolate place.
A place I would never want to go to be honest. It's too damn cold for me.
Don't blame you.
It's way too cold out there, but the Nazis definitely went out there and were looking for all kinds of different sort of things that are rumored, rather. I should say, I don't know if any of it's true, but they say they did find plenty of things out there, including an underground sort of a base out there.
Yeah, I've done quite a bit of research on that, and I'm actually going to come out with a book probably next year called Esoteric Antarctica, and several of the chapters are on not only the New Schwabenland land claim, in which they drop these 1.5 meter long darts all over the periphery of New Schwabenland, the land they claim to claim it for Nazi Germany. And they set up not one, but two bases. One was called Base 211 in the Schumacher Hills near the Schumacher Ponds. And that was named after the pilot whose last name was Schumacher. And the exploratory group went out to find an underground base along flowing river, where the U-boats could come right up under the ice and resupply. That's where the Battle of High Jump took place. But there's also the New Berlin base, which it is in a different location. And some people think it could possibly be there's another area that doesn't ever freeze called in the Beaver Lake. Beaver Glacier area, several hundred miles away from Base 211. Or it could be below the ice where Admiral Byrd flew his plane down, described in his diary, to this verdant land with green fields and even megafauna and megaflora. He said him and his radio man saw a woolly mammoth down there. And then when they were flying in, because he had flown over. He was the first aviator to fly over the South Pole in 1929. And then he was summoned there right before the Battle of High Jump, about a month before. And he knew where the hole was, put his plane in, and as they were flying, two UFO craft that he described as flugel rods and had Nazi Germany markings on these UFO craft escorted him in. And they came over the radio. He took control of his flight, too, and said, you don't have to worry, Admiral Byrd. We will land at the domain in 10 minutes with a Nordic or Germanic accent. And then he was summoned to meet the master in this emerald city, kind of like you saw in the Wizard of Oz, that he would go there to meet the master, who told him to go back to the Pentagon and tell them that we shouldn't be blowing off nuclear bombs, which just occurred the previous year in Nagasaki and Hiroshima. So he heeded the warning, was flown out by the same pilots, and at the end they said, Auf Wiedersehen, goodbye in German. And then he flew back to the Little America base, and indeed there were 3 hours of missing time when he was in this area. So real compelling evidence that there is a very high-tech advanced under-ice city in Antarctica.
By the way, in terms of this craft, is this more of like a typical flying saucer, or is this more of like a Vimana-shaped sort of flying saucer?
More of a typical UFO.
Oh, okay.
Round disc-shaped craft, as best I could interpret from his diary.
Very nice. Very nice. See, with the woolly mammoth thing, that then I start to think maybe there was a giant spider around then.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Well, you might be onto something there, Michael.
I would hope. I mean, I would hope that there's a giant spider out there next to a woolly mammoth. That would be pretty cool to see, to be honest with you. If these stories are true, and a lot of people believe that these are true, and that's why some of the world leaders actually gathered to go into this sort of desolate, strange land.
Yep.
Allegedly.
Got that right.
I don't know, though, if that's true or not, but it's a hell of a story.
And it's worth exploring. I mean, there are so many mysteries down there, and I can tell you because I went, that you really have to consider that this is the least known place in the world.
Right.
That so little is known about Antarctica, especially what could be buried under the ice. There's probably more knowledge of the bottom of the ocean floor than there is in what's below the ice in Antarctica.
Neuschwabenland.
Well, and Neuschwabenland is just one section
right.
of Antarctica, but also the entirety is covered by over 2 miles of ice in the polar plateau region. So it's quite remarkable when you think how much it's covered in ice there.
Oh, yeah. Again, too damn cold for me to be there. And
yeah.
Brad, I'm glad that we have you to go out there and sort of search around as much as you legally can, of course.
Hey, you know, I should probably put it out there right now. I'm working with a venture capital group who approached me about doing a film about Antarctica. Of course, I said, well, I'm intrigued. What is it all about?
Right.
And they have created a deck to raise $10 million and a video on the expedition to go down there to the Neuschwabenland area,
and
among other places.
And
the itinerary, to investigate, try to find Base 211 or see if it got nuked. Because if it had, then we're talking about history-changing information. But also we would try to go to the South Pole and maybe defy the no-fly zone order and see if we can fly or catch a glimpse of the giant hole over the ice. And then also check out the giant pyramid down there. And I think all of this would be quite impressive.
Yeah, that would be amazing.
So the website's called vccapital.com. Letter V, letter C, capital, one word, .com. If people want to check it out just to see our deck and what we're planning. And that could be as soon as next November.
Wow.
When season 4 travel opens up. I have a travel tour company that is willing to go down there. And at least I know they'll take us to the pyramid in the Ellsworth Range, the famous one that's 2 kilometers by 2 kilometers by 2 kilometers by 2 kilometers. It's huge. It's way bigger than the pyramid in Egypt.
Wow. And Brad, is this for a documentary? Is this for like a...
Yeah.
Okay.
A film-length documentary. Oh. Possibly in movie theaters.
Wow.
That could also be a series. Maybe we get tons of footage, but they think it would be best to pitch it as a film to maybe even a Netflix or Amazon Plus or even a movie release.
I think Netflix would definitely pick it up. I would be all in as well if I were you. That sounds like a really awesome opportunity, especially if you could pitch it around out there. You know, you never know. Netflix might definitely pick it up, or a big network perhaps will be generous enough to run with it. I mean, that would be great viewing material, especially today.
Oh, yeah. And if we could come to the conclusion that the pyramid is manufactured by higher intelligence, if there is a giant hole in the ice near Antarctica, or any kind of evidence for the Nazi New Schwaben Base 211. It would be groundbreaking. It would be absolutely historic.
I agree. I agree 100%. Definitely let me know. Let us all know, Brad, if there's any progress with these sort of things happening.
Yeah, we've just finished the deck, and it's only going live in the last few days. So it's very new. Breaking the story right now on the Michael Deacon program.
Nice.
That I want to make this journey down there once again with the film crew and possibly come up with some earth-shattering information.
And Brad, I know this is sort of like a typical 101 sort of question, but what exactly inspired you to sort of travel around and see all these ancient old sites and visit these sort of things, Brad?
Well, like I said earlier, a rolling stone gathers no moss. So I've just been traveling my entire adult life, been to all seven continents and about 45 or 50 countries.
Right.
And to me, yeah, that's just this is to me what really makes me tick.
It makes you tick, but what is there exactly? There's got to be at least one sort of thing that just really makes you scratch your head, something that's fascinated you for years, something that has driven you to seek out this sort of answer or a lingering question you probably have in your mind. Is it the whole life and death thing? What is it exactly? I mean, everyone goes out to do something. Look at Adolf Hitler with the Nazis. Deeply into the occult, looking for all these sort of ancient sort of relics from the past. They were seeking immortality. What is it exactly that is driving you? What is it about all this travel you've been doing? There's got to be one thing out there, Brad, that you're seeking for.
Well, it's just truth, really.
Just truth.
Yeah, well, knowing that we have not been told the truth about our own human origins, about ancient civilizations, about what who's the real movers and shakers in the world, what's driving these economies of ours. These are the esoteric subjects which I've endeavored to write a 3-book series on. Literally 1,500 pages of original material about what has been withheld from humanity. So ever since I was a kid, I've often thought, why don't we live in a utopian world right now? Why is there still starvation and warfare happening on our planet? And it's just to try to nail down what's really going on. And part of that is our lost history that's been withheld from us. And I think some of those answers could come in Antarctica.
Antarctica is the key. And yeah, definitely a strange place that it seems like no one really wants us to know, in other words, what really is going on out there. Just like everything else in life, someone's always gatekeeping, Brad.
Yeah, that's the unfortunate situation we find ourselves in, Michael, because there have always been gatekeepers. There's always been this structure to keep us ignorant. That's why I describe the subtitle of my book, Beyond Esoteric, Escaping Prison Planet.
Right.
Because we're in the construct of a prison planet. It's not that we don't live on a beautiful planet, because it is, but we've been kept in the box, right? And now, only now, in the Great Awakening, are people en masse starting to realize that we have these prison keepers and these confines, and we have the ability to step out and break out of it.
I like that, yes, but I agree. We definitely are in a prison planet of sorts. And Brad, do you believe once you die, you go elsewhere?
Yes, I do. I grew up with atheist parents.
Really?
They did. Well, my mom was Catholic. My dad was Lutheran. And both of them said, hey, we're dropping out. We're not going to teach them anything.
Oh, my.
Well, but in a good way, because it was like a chalkboard that had nothing written on it.
Right.
And it wasn't until I traveled the world. In fact, my first experience was in Pompeii, Italy, in that lost city that got covered by a explosion of Mount Vesuvius in 79 AD.
Right.
Michael, for the first time when I'm walking around Pompeii, I knew my way around. It still gives me goosebumps to this day to talk about it because I remembered the place.
You knew your way around.
So I started to have, yeah, an idea that I've lived many lifetimes here on Earth. And not only in Pompeii, but in other locations. And then especially when I was in Egypt, it was full moon in March 1993, and I climbed to the top of the Great Pyramid, and I had an epiphany of my grandfather, who was very influential in my life. He passed away less than a year before, and I wasn't able to make the funeral because I was teaching English in Japan and just it didn't have time by the time I was informed he passed. And I was carrying some guilt, and I'm sitting up there meditating on the top of the Great Pyramid.
Right.
And he came to me, and he said, you know, don't worry about that. Look where you are. Look what you're doing. You're living the dream. And he said, just keep doing what you're doing. It's a great life you have there, and keep doing it. You're going places most people could only dream of. And I took that advice at hand, but I tell you, Michael, at that moment, then I knew for sure that we all are spirits living in a human body. But I like the bumper sticker that says you're not having a spiritual experience. You're a spirit having the human experience. And it's pretty rough going for a lot of people to live this human experience because many of us, such as the Indigo children, can't really adapt to this very heavy, dense karmic load that you get when you're born as a human. So it weighs heavily on a lot of people being born here. And some just have to check out. They can't even live their full life. They just want to check out, suicide or
right.
nuke themselves with drugs and alcohol and just numb the pain. Because it's very difficult for a lot of people to exist here.
Yeah, just the daily grind of living.
Yeah,
that's enough. It's a lot of craziness out there in this world. And, you know, I hate to even mention this, but I mean, that's what happened to this former porn star that was once with us. You know, she offed herself as well recently.
Really? Wow.
But I mean, if you know, you get into that sort of business, that's... You know, chances are they're pretty high that you might do something of that sort. Doesn't really end well for people in that that business.
No, there's a pretty high churn rate, as it's known, for people in that field. And again, I think it's kind of selling your soul
when
you do it.
When you do anything in that entertainment business, I think part of you do sell your soul.
You do indeed. And people probably just don't realize what they're getting into. And it's just sad that so many people get churned through there. And look, we're all young and we make youthful indiscretions. Nobody's perfect. We make mistakes. But the one good thing about getting older, Michael, is you can reflect on what you've done right and what you've done wrong. And oftentimes, It's just the way that we can better ourselves by knowing what we have done right and what we have done wrong.
Right. And Brad, I asked this question to everybody, but do you consider yourself a good person?
I do. And I look at it from an interpersonal perspective. I treat people the way I would want to be treated myself. And I certainly believe in the laws of karma, so I don't want to affect anyone's life in a negative way. So yeah, I mean, this is what I call the real philosopher's stone, that when you realize that yes, you're a spirit in a human experience here, and that a lot of things in life are really slated against us, is that we're not given all the information we need. So wouldn't it be great if, say, when we were kids, kindergarten, we start learning about the energy chakras. By second grade, we're able to raise the kundalini and move towards becoming enlightened beings. By fifth grade, we're using telekinesis and bending spoons. We didn't get taught any of that. What we're taught is indoctrination. So we've just been given so much poor information in our lives that to be a good person, you really have to break out of that and then look at what serves you and basically how to be in service to all, to help humanity. And I think that that's really the best thing you can do in your lifetime, is to try to be in service to all and help us through this incredible period called the Great Awakening.
I hear you. To end on that note, I don't consider myself a good or a bad person. I'm still working on those sort of things as my life progresses, I would say, at this point in time. But I would say I'm more along those lines of being a good person, though, at the end of the day. And you mentioned something that made me think of the Neuralink and what Elon Musk is doing out there, you know, with the whole chip sort of deal, the whole telekinesis thing. I mean, it's already happening here, but with thanks to the use of technology, Brad, now you can control a computer mouse by thinking. But, you know, we've heard of all these sort of concepts before in the past, but I guess now the elites have, they want to roll this sort of thing out for the masses now. You want to distribute this sort of thing, even though it's probably already existed for quite some time now, which it already does. I mean, I know the military already has sort of this sort of technology where you can control things remotely with your mind already.
Yeah, the Neuralink thing, get that injected in you. Good luck trying to get that out if you don't want it.
Seriously, that's bad news.
I don't like the way this sounds, especially in light of everything we've learned about what the vaccine can do. I don't think injectables of anything is a good idea.
I don't think so either. I mean, technology is rapidly increasing right now, and we're seeing all this VR stuff interject its way into the mainstream now. And, you know, the whole Neuralink thing, these are just the foundations, the sort of building blocks before we go full, I hate to say, you know, you don't want to go full retard, but we're almost going full retard now, by the way, Brad, by implementing all this sort of stuff. I mean, eventually, that's how we're going to be walking around. Basically, we're going to be living computers, basically.
Yeah. And that just begs the question, do you really want to be a cyborg?
We're going there, though.
I think most people in their right mind would say, no, of course not. But at the same time, then you have the possibility of, well, they're trying to sell it as, oh, it'll be for your convenience. Get this microchip in your hand and you can open your front door of your house or go to work that way. I mean, they're already doing that in Sweden a couple of years ago to employees who would just line up and do it. All right, I'll take that convenience. But again, good luck trying to get it out if you never want to have it in you.
Right. And I'm referring to Apple's Vision Pro, by the way, that little device that you wrap around and you sort of go into a matrix light state, basically. And the Neuralink, that's another step. I mean, you're seeing all this happening right now, folks, and eventually all this is going to change quickly, and we'll be putting on contact lenses, and we'll have all this sort of shit going on. You know, we'll be browsing online while we're crossing the street. Some people will be watching porn while they're walking their dogs, and all this sort of crazy stuff is going to be happening in the near future. I'm pretty sure we're almost already there, Brad.
Yeah, unfortunately, I think you're right, Michael. We are already there, and they're trying to do it. They're just looking for the right justification to get people to line up, roll up their sleeves, and take whatever the next injectable chip or Neuralink that we all think is such a great thing. But what about just being human?
That's right.
What about just being normal?
Yeah, seriously.
Without becoming a Homo Borgenesis.
Right. Good Lord, the future is very, very strange, Brad. And, you know, we just kicked off here 2024, but I already suspect we're going to see all kinds of strange things go down this year and plenty of false flags, I'm sad to say. We're going to see something pop off.
Oh, that's to say the least. It could be multiple things popping off, from an EMP attack to We've heard about the fake alien invasion. Well,
yeah.
2024 is the year it was slated to happen. And you've got the election coming up in November. And if Trump looks like he's going to win, they are going to do everything to try to prevent that, because they know it's game over. He gets back in. He's already said it, that he would fight them tooth and nail if they attempted, well, steal another election. That's the other thing. I used to be a inspector for elections.
Oh, right.
In a precinct in San Francisco. Yeah, for 8 years. This was a while ago.
Yeah, I recall you telling me that.
I remember, yeah, studying the election process and these machines. And boy, they told us, oh, they're airtight. They can't be manipulated, but they can be. And it's already been demonstrated in a court of law. So why we are still using these ballot counting machines when people could just count them themselves and have a paper trail, why we're still using the Dominion software and these machines is to cook another election.
Yeah, that's right. We basically still support these archaic sort of things for whatever reason. The whole voting system is a sham. And we, again, going back to the laws again, a lot of laws are unconstitutional by definition, in my opinion. But, you know, we live in this broken system. And going back to what I was telling you earlier, that this is basically the end game of every conversation we have here. It's what can we actually do? It seems like they've already sold us down the river a long time ago. The Rothschilds and other very famous names out there. But the Rothschilds more so control basically everything.
They sure do. And most importantly is the Bank of International Settlements, which is in Basel, Switzerland. That right there is the central bank that controls all the other central banks. And Switzerland is also the home in Geneva to the World Economic Forum. Is our headquarters in Gavi, as well as World Health Organization, are all Switzerland-based organizations. I remember reading in Nexus magazine about 15 years ago that the French Foreign Legion, the elite troops of the French military, were planning to invade Switzerland. I'm thinking at the time, who would ever want to invade Switzerland? They're always neutral.
Yeah.
And they're always the ones that are the good guys. All they do are they're bankers and they make clocks and chocolate. Well, now it turns out that is the hive of evil in the world operating out of Switzerland. So maybe they should invade. Take them out.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, a lot of strange things go on. A lot of strange things go on all over the world, and that's the problem. That is the problem. Our country sort of occupies pretty much every other country there is in the world with all of our military bases out there. Sometimes I think, Brad, we're not always the quote-unquote good guys.
No, that's quite a misperception. Yeah. You just ask anybody around the world, and I was hearing about it in Laos.
Oh, yeah. Go back to Laos. Tell us a little bit about that before we wrap it up here. I think that'd be a great way to close this down.
Yeah. So I was there for a press trip for the ASEAN Tourism Forum. I used to do it quite a bit 20 years ago when I was doing mostly travel writing. So just put in my application this year and got accepted. And I wrote my article about this place called The Plain of Jars to pay back a press trip. You produce some media that can be used to promote the country. So I did go there a couple weeks early to go up to the Plain of Jars, and there are these big megalithic jars, and right there, now it's all protected as a UNESCO World Heritage Site. So
I'm very jealous, by the way, that you went there.
Yeah,
that's a beautiful place. Yeah, I know about it.
Oh, it is. Mm-hmm. Very mysterious.
Yeah, that's really cool.
And now there's a museum. And it says that the legend is they were built by giants as drinking. But more evidence suggests that they were secondary burial. So bodies were put in, and then after they decomposed, bones were taken out and then buried around the jars. So they were like funerary urns on a plot of land. But they're still to this day, 1,325 intact jars. But in prehistory, when they're made from 500 BC to 500 AD during the Iron Age, there were thousands of them. Many have been destroyed, including the secret war in Laos, which this particular area was very wealthy throughout history as a trading route. So they commissioned these jars to bury the wealthy. But in more modern times, it was also the route of the Ho Chi Minh Trail. And so we indiscriminately bombed Laos without knowledge in Congress, without the American public being notified that more bombs were dropped in Laos from 1964 to 1970, and it carried on till 73, than all the bombs dropped in World War II.
Hmm.
The country, the poor country of Laos,
yeah,
is the most heavily bombed nation in the world. And still to this day, every 2 weeks, a child or a farmer, somebody is plowing a field or playing around.
Yeah.
And an unexploded ordnance will take out an arm or kill or maim every 2 weeks. It's still happening. Oof,
that is brutal.
So it's such a tragedy to see that.
Yeah, that is brutal.
So went to the Plain of Jars. It was amazing.
Damn.
Then I went to Luang Prabang, this medieval Buddhist town, for a week. And it was there I was speaking with my the host, and he could speak English very well. He owned a bunch of properties. But he was very curious about what's going on in America. He says, I heard your borders wide open. Here's someone all halfway around the world. He's like, maybe I should move to America. I know I can get in right now. And half jokingly. And I said, yeah, well, borders wide open. Come on in. He wouldn't do it because he owns a business. But everybody knows, Michael, it's just open secret. America's wide open. Just come on in.
Yeah. Come on out. Come on over and hang out. What's the big deal? Yeah, but
slip on through. You don't even have to show your papers.
That's right. But yes, the site you went to, I'm extremely jealous that you went out there. It's a beautiful place, and it's a mysterious place. It's puzzled people for the longest time what the true purpose of these jars were intended for, and the sheer size of these things. For those out there who don't know, that these things are massive, sometimes even like 10 feet high, even a little bit higher.
Yeah, over 3 meters tall and at least 8 feet tall. So the big mystery is not so much how they were made, because you can still see the chip marks from the Iron Age tools. But the big mystery is, how did they move?
Yes, how were they transported?
The quarry to their location. And that indeed is quite the enigma.
Right.
And just like other megalithic sites,
yeah,
not only are there legends of giants in the creation of them, sometimes place like Sacsayhuaman, giant bones found right next to them, but moving those blocks is the real mystery,
right,
how they were able to do that.
I agree. And Brad, do you think there's some sort of something buried underneath these jars, deep underground? Do you think there's something there?
Well, there are bones buried under the ground.
Just bones.
And it's also very, there are a lot of caves.
Ah.
That's for sure. Quite a few caves in the area, including one where they were performing cremation. So for the common people, they were just cremated and then just remains buried around. But the Plain of Jars is one giant necropolis. Literally, not only over a thousand of these jars, and it's not just in one location where the World Heritage Site is. They protect over 50 locations, and some of those might just be one jar on a hilltop scattered all around the area. But the quarries had to go to move these blocks through dense jungle, over streams and creeks.
Yeah.
Deep cut valleys.
No easy
How
task.
They
yeah.
Those blocks is a big mystery.
Absolutely. And Brad, since you've been around, you've been all over the world, all around the flat earth, as I like to say now. Since the flat earthers like to listen to this. So, all around the flat earth, Brad, what exactly would you say is like your favorite place If you do have one, that is.
Gosh, that's a tough one. But I'll tell you, as far as archaeological sites,
right,
really there's nothing quite like Egypt.
Egypt, okay.
But a very close second is Angkor Wat and some of these megalithic sites in Southeast Asia.
Very nice. Very, very nice. And, you know, I could talk to you easily for another hour here, Brad. But I definitely want to thank you for being a part of the program, my friend. You know, it's always fun to interact with you and catch up with you as you make your travels. And a lot of people love hearing about you here on this program, since, to be honest with you, Brad, we get a different side of you that normally you don't really hear everywhere else, to be honest with you. This sort of interaction we have with us, with you, me, and the audience here.
Yeah, well, you and I have met several occasions
right.
in person. I know you as a friend, and I feel like I can talk to you as a friend. And I know you've got a very sophisticated audience that listens to your program, and they understand a lot of the things we talk about. So I feel pretty open and free to share my mind and thoughts.
And that's why they like you. Yeah. Be yourself, be your genuine self. They love that about you, and they admire you here on this program. And I appreciate that. So Brad, once again, my friend, thank you so much for being here and spending some of your time with us. Go ahead and plug anything you'd like, my friend.
Oh, thanks. So yeah, people want to see me at one of my conferences. I'm speaking at about a dozen conferences in 2024. You can go to bradolson.com, just like my name spelled, BRADOLSEN.com. And any of my books, including other authors, including Laura Eisenhower, brand new book just came out, through cccpublishing.com.
Nice.
That's 3 C's publishing, one word, .com. And then, of course, any of my books, I can sign copies for people if they order them over the website.
Very, very nice, Brad. And that's bradolson.com and cccpublishing.com. Brad, I will talk to you on the other side, my friend.
You bet, Michael. Thanks for having me on. Always great to talk to you. We'll be right back.